Well, they're just so predictable. It's the news, according to me. Oh, goodness gracious. It is Tuesday. It is Tuesday. Welcome. It is Tuesday. Welcome to the news, according to me. June. I wish. It feels like June outside. It's January 6th, 8:58 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am in the Central Time Zone, where it would be 7:58 Central Standard Time. And it is Tuesday, January 2026, by the way. What is today? The 6th of January. The 6th day of Mamdani's reign of New York City. The only one that matters. Don't worry, he's monitoring the situation with Maduro. He's monitoring the situation. He will give advice. He'll advise on the situation as he's monitoring. He'll be standing by to help you with any information that you need to know as he watches his Twitter X account to be briefed on the situation. What's going on with I think it's kind of the stick in his craw. If you know what that means, that means that there's a stick in his craw. There's the craw is the part of a cat. This paw, a cat's paw. That's it's called a craw. If they get a stick in there, it's hard for them to get it out. And it's the stick in the craw. That's what's. Typically a large cat. Stupid. What you typically think about that. But anyway. Yeah, so he's monitoring the situation. Don't worry, folks. He's on top of it for you. I'm sure, there will be he'll hold a press conference and he'll have 1,000 reporters there snapping pictures and flashing lights. And he's not dealing well with popularity. I think things are going to happen there in New York that are going to make him look extremely and stupid in days ahead. Anybody who talks a lot and doesn't say anything typically. Except for this program, this program not included, typically has problems later in their whole political. So I'm not running for office, so I can talk all I want to and not say anything, and it's just entertainment value. Because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor. I am just here for your entertainment, sharing my opinions. And I would like for you to know what you think about what I think. And you can call 812-379-8778. And just give me leave a message. Send a text, whatever you want to do. Or you can go to google.com/voice, and you can leave a message there by the same number. Just type in that same number there, and you can just leave a message or do a text message. Ask a question, make a comment, whatever you want to do. And I might play it or I might read it on the show, but I may not. I may just talk about it or I might just ignore it. Who knows? I do get some comments occasionally that are just incoherent, I might say. I think those are just my test comments, actually, now that I think about it. That's what I try to make sure the thing's working. I have a few things in my cup this morning. I have chai. I have coconut cream creamer and some hot water. I do. I've got like a mix that I put in there, and it's very good. I am currently in Florida. I've been in Florida for about a little over a week now. Haven't been in Florida for a week. I've been in Florida for a week, I guess. We left for Florida 2 weeks ago. A week ago yesterday. On Monday we left on for Florida, and we actually got in here late on Tuesday. As after dark, we hit the Florida line maybe right before dark, and then it got dark by the time we got to Tallahassee. Gainesville. We were just east of Gainesville, west of Gainesville a little ways, Florida, and over closer to the Gulf side. And then we drove about 4 hours over here to the Pensacola area. That's where we are now. We're between Destin and Pensacola, and we are in this area. At a campground, have the camper here, and we have the Jeep. We've been driving around. Today we're going to go to there's a dog beach. We're planning on going to the dog beach today and possibly on Thursday. Maybe we just go every day. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Depends on what the dog beach is like. We're hoping that during the week, middle of the day, It's hopefully not too busy with other dogs. That's the biggest problem I get with going to a dog park or other, you know, other places where there's other dogs is you just never know what kind of activity, what kind of reactivity is going to, there can be some very goofy situations there. And of course there's, let alone the fact that they got, you know, that's where diseases are spread and all kinds of stuff. But, it's just the possibility of a dog that's, you know, doesn't react well, or there's a problem. Typically when you go to a dog park, eventually there's, you know, if you spend much time there with very many dogs, typically there's going to be a fight breakout. There's going to be something, you know, much like an Irish pub. So we have, I don't know. Just assuming, you know, that's a fighting Irish. I assume they just all fight. So that's what they do. We have a few things to talk about. I call this, actually it's Topical Tuesday. I was thinking it was Mishmash Monday today. Yesterday was Mishmash Monday. Unfortunately, one of my, podcast platforms I didn't notice it. It didn't get posted yesterday. I just noticed it this morning. It actually never got on the post. I thought it did, and Podbean posted, and this apparently did not. Maybe I should check my Podbean thing. Hey, maybe it didn't do it either. It didn't do it either. Must have been an internet glitch of some sort. That's all I can think of at this point. Let's see if it will publish it. No, it won't even do it. It signed. They both signed out for some reason. Right at the same time that they were being published. And I don't know what happened there. Very interesting that would happen that way. So I'll get these published. Even while I'm speaking here, I'm gonna be putting these out there. That way we don't lose those. Because, you know, heaven forbid we should lose an episode. Because that would just be, the world would come to an end, apparently. Mom Domini would probably have to come to make a press conference and give a, you know, a big speech. Tim Walz would have to have, you know, weigh in on the whole thing, what's happening there. It's one thing after another. I think I got the other one done, right? Yeah, that's not okay, good. So both platforms, there was no show yesterday, apparently. So this is a combination of Mishmash Monday and today's Topical Tuesday. I think the topic I've kind of chosen, kind of landed on for today is, besides what's in my cup, by the way, I have a backup cup here. One of the reasons I'm so chipper, I'm so happy today, is I have a cup almost full of Chick-fil-A sweet tea. Because this morning, or yesterday, we went to Chick-fil-A for lunch. We bought a bunch of sweet tea and walked away with that. So I've got some of that to last me till we go to Chick-fil-A. I probably get through today yet with the Chick-fil-A sweet tea, and then tomorrow I'm gonna have to go back to Chick-fil-A again, probably. So it's gonna match my eyes. In the meantime, weather here has been pretty nice. It's supposed to get up in the 70s today here. It was 60. I think it got down to 60 degrees last night. Good sleeping weather. And then tomorrow, I think that the high today is supposed to be 71, which is pretty nice. It should be fairly sunny most of the day, looks like. And then tomorrow, of course, a Wednesday, it will be high of 71 again. Pretty much a repeat of today, supposedly. It rained a little bit this morning. But that's just kind of a typical Florida, you know, little shower off the lake, kind of off the ocean type thing. And then it's supposed to start raining Friday. But it's supposed to be in the 70s all week and 60s in the evening. And fairly nice weather here. So I'm kind of happy that I'm able to stay here this week. Cold is getting better. My sinus issues are kind of clearing up rapidly. I just look quicker than I expected for the way I felt. And I was pretty achy, pretty miserable. Couldn't just really want to just be in bed. Just one of those deals where you just want to crawl in bed and just stay there and just whatever. But it's been okay. The goal today is to get the dogs tired out and going on more adventure. Of course, the old dog, he doesn't really have any problem being tired. He'll lay down, start snoring in a heartbeat. But the young pup is the problem. We got to keep him tired out. But right now he's relaxed very well. They've had their little morning outside time. They did a little bit of breakfast, and they're relaxed. They're kind of getting into the routine now, just settling down and relaxing after lunch. After they eat, there's some theory about that. Some people say they should have a short walk, about a 2 minute walk, just a steady walk, two to 5 minutes, I guess. It's just a standard walk. But the problem is, a standard walk for these particular animals, especially the new puppy, nothing standard about that. He's out of control. But not necessarily. He's a good boy. He just wants to run around and do lots of things. But they do need to kind of digest their food before they. But as far as their sugar levels in their blood, I guess it makes a difference that they. And same thing for humans. You should, once you eat, especially a heavy meal, especially a high carb meal. What I'm understanding is you should go out and walk, just a 5 minute walk. Right afterwards, just to kind of keep the blood flowing. It stabilizes the blood sugar. It does all kinds of things. Then you can rest if you need to. But you do a 30 minute walk, it's even better. Now, if you don't want to do any like heavy running right after you eat a heavy meal, anything that's too vigorous, because that'll mess up your blood flow. You won't digest your food properly. It's all kinds of weird things. But it's the steadiness of the blood flow to other parts of your body helps to combat insulin resistance or whatever it is. I don't know. You start paying more attention to those kinds of things the older you get, and the older I get. I've just noticed that every day I get older, because apparently that's the way that works. That's the way time. I'm starting to understand this time thing now. It keeps on going. Time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking into the future, kind of thing. Look, this is all done now. I can publish it. So you're gonna get two shows this morning, two for the price of one. By the way, we have no sponsor of this show. This is the show where I just tell you it's sponsored completely by me. So it's the only sponsor we've got. And that's all you get. That's what you get, what you pay for. And that's all I can say about that. Now, having said all that, let's get into a few things. I'm gonna talk about this citizen journalism and journalism in general. The legacy news media outlets and the other reporting agencies that are out there that are, you know, the MS Now, the sorry, the MS Now, the you know, even Fox News, One America News, and there's Rebel News up in Canada, some other organizations that are around, and a little bit more of a conservative bent to some of them. Even they are struggling, I think, in terms of doing journalism. There's some confusion about journalism and commentary. There's commentators who will tell you what they think about the news. I am more of a commentator. I'm not the guy on the street doing investigative reporting. Excuse me. The people who are out there investigating, doing gumshoe kind of work, are the people who are the real. I would call them the real journalists. They are out there, and journalists are just people who journal. They're people who write down that they're making observations and writing things down. And that's kind of what is happening more, I think, with the independents that are out there. These people like Nick Shirley and others. Mark Dice kind of started off that way. I don't necessarily listen to him as much anymore. He's really kind of locked into a zone that I kind of mostly agree with him. At the same time, disagree. He's got some theological issues with his theology. Some of the things about Israel he'll talk about the church and about Israel. And I have to disagree foundationally on a few things that he has said. Which is fine, that in and of itself, if he's politically right, but he's kind of locked into this one particular, I would say lane right now that I'm just not, it's just not, I'm not interested in it. I'm not as comfortable with it. He does talk a lot, and he says a lot of things that are true about racial issues and that kind of, but he kind of stays on that lane a little too much for me. Plenty of other things to report about, But I just don't, I'm not sure I follow. It just gets a little old. He's talented enough to go to talk about so many other things. And he has gone down some rabbit holes. I don't know. There are some people out there who are disinformation folks. There are people who online who, I guarantee you, are disinformation page shills. They're fed, misinformation. I should say disinformation. Misinformation is one thing. That's where you make a mistake in the information you have. You might make a conclusion or draw a conclusion, make a commentary, something that you don't understand. Now, anything any kind of allegations I make or anything I say is pretty much just based on my opinion or what I observe. I'm not a prosecutor. I'm not, I'm going to accuse anyone of anything other than just, it's all allegedly. So it's all that. Nothing, I don't have any proof on anything, on anybody. I'm just sitting here talking about what I see on the news. And just the opinions that some other people have. That's what I talk about. When it comes to actually making educated guesses and educated understanding and decisions on things, there are people out there who are actually, there are channels. And sometimes people actually interview some of these people, and you have to wonder, former CIA people or whatever it is. The Ruthless Broadcast, podcast, I listen to them quite a bit, just about every day. And they, today they had a really good one. What I'm trying to say about this whole thing is I'm very impressed with the citizen journalism, some of the independents that are out there now and some of the things that they're doing. in terms of their tenacity, their ability to, kind of fearless attitude. Nick Shirley was one of. I'm not sure that Nick Shirley understood what he was really tapping into. I don't think he realized it was going to blow up the way it did. Now, he was popular enough already. He had a fairly successful, web channel, or I should say YouTube channel. However, I don't think he was aware of what would happen upon the blowing up of the whole thing. And, I think he's gone from, I think he had less than 1 million subscribers, and now he's got 3 million or whatever he's got. Yeah, it's gotten ridiculous. It's just all of a sudden it's off the chart. And I'm not sure if exactly he understands. Let's just take a look. I think you can probably find his channel real quick here. And you probably just go to subscriptions. I'd probably find it right there. Should be here somewhere. It might be in here. Let's just see if I can find it here. He's posting things. He's still posting some stuff here and there. I'm going to see if I can find this real quick. He has, it's got to be here. It can't be too far away. I don't see it. It's not handy right there. But, he definitely has expanded. His growth has expanded in the last, very little while. And I'm not sure that some people aren't ready to they don't realize that what's going to happen with him in that. The tough part of this is how people handle the newfound expansion. For instance, if all of a sudden my channel, my little podcast, all of a sudden got 1 million subscribers, and I had even 100,000 subscribers, it would kind of change the the dynamic a little bit. Now I don't monetize. I don't do any of that. I don't have any kind of. I don't want to be hampered by what I say. When I'm making a point, I want to be able to make the whole point and use the words I choose. I hear a lot of YouTubers kind of self-censoring themselves, and I don't want to do that. And this now, what I've seen, however, is that this is happening on a kind of people are being trained to not say certain words or to say things, use other buzzwords or bywords in order to get through, get past, get around the algorithm. And I'm not going to go there. It's not going to go there. Now, of course, they're making their living at it. I understand. I make my living other ways. And it's not important to me. It's more important to me that I can just kind of speak my mind and be kind of open about that and not be encumbered with anything other than just I'm making sure I don't upset my dog here beside me. He's come over to poke me. He's just kind of poked me with his nose. I'm sure if he wanted to make sure I mention him on the show today. Yeah, so there you go. There you go, buddy. You got your little 2 cents worth in. We have, let me go back and lay down. I was going to go lay down on the other sofa now. We have, but the it's impressive to see what's happening. Like with the Ruthless podcast, they have, they did a really good job this morning. Another one that really did a good job is there's a guy who has a channel called, Real Social Justice Warrior, I think, or Real Justice Warrior. I got to find it now because I don't want to just walk away from this without. Oh, come on now. What would it be? That's not it. I think what I'm going to have to do is just go to my subscriptions and just see what we got over here. I'm just going to click on subscriptions. Actual Justice Warrior, I think is what his name is the name of his channel. You need to really, I would recommend if you care at all or want to be, if you're interested at all in this whole thing with Mondani and why the systems do not work. This idea of rent control, the government coming in, stepping in and capping certain things and doing certain things. I think it's really critical that we have a good analysis and an ability to educate people on how, why it's not feasible. It's not sustainable. And, let's see what we got. I think I've got the actual name of this show that he had today. Actual Justice Warrior is the channel. I think it just was yesterday. I don't see the timestamp on this one for when he actually posted it. I think he posted it yesterday or last night. It's Mamdani destroys himself with his own propaganda. He is shown with this local. He has this local news organization. They're following him around. He's doing this inspection on a home. That is the floor. You know, floor's cracking. There's all this stuff happening. The apartment building itself is kind of falling. It's just fallen into disrepair. There's a bathtub that's got rust in it. There's some. It's just some different things like that. And of course, this lady's all upset about it. Well, it's all well and good until you find out the whole backstory. And Actual Justice Warrior, this guy, I don't remember his name is. He actually goes through and gives you all the details of what was actually happening in the backstory of this whole thing. Then he explains why he lives in New York. He gives you the backstory on why all the policies and the laws and legislation that were put into place is what caused all of this to begin with. And it talks about why there's a huge number of apartments now in New York that are sitting empty. Because the landlords simply can't afford to fix them, because if they do put the money into fixing them, they will not be able, because of the rent controls that they've had in place already, they can't afford to put because they can't raise the rent high enough to pay for it. So they're just sitting on the properties, hoping that at some point, they're just using them as collateral, whatever they're doing, they might own 80 properties and 20 or 30% of them are unusable. They can't fix them because they can't generate enough income. So a lot of these rental companies are going broke. They're filing bankruptcy. They're selling out, and even the banks will not take them over because they won't take over the properties because then it's a liability for them, and they know they can't rent them out because the new legislation is even a new property owner or when someone moves out, you can't raise the rent more than like $80 a month or whatever it is. And that's unsustainable. You can't, if you have to do a repair that's going to cost, $10,000, that $80 a month is not going to pay for that. It's not worthwhile. You just simply can't get your money out of it. Of course, you can turn around, you can't rent the thing can't pay your property tax, can't pay anything with that little bit of rent that's coming out. There's just not enough there to make it worthwhile. So they basically close it down and then they end up just writing it off or basically depreciating it out, whatever they're going to do, or trying to sell it to somebody else. And it's a really bizarre problem. Well, the problem with this whole the house thing that he was doing, he was kind of showing this house and how bad it is and why we need to seize these properties. The problem is that very property was already under the rent control legislation that was passed several years ago. And so that's why they were stuck with this whole thing. It's just it's on and on. That's the story part of the story you didn't hear. He did an excellent job. It's a 22-minute video, and he just breaks the whole thing down and explains why the legislation is bad. Why, you know, you've got empty apartments. The problem is always supply and demand. That's why rent is so high, is because there's not enough places to rent, and there's too many people, not enough places. It's all about inventory. Now I think there were three families living in this lady's apartment. That's another thing they don't talk about. She has. Her and her husband, they have one child. They had her uncle, and I think his one child was there. And then another extended member of the family was also living in this apartment. I think there was eight people living in this apartment, eight or nine people in one apartment. I think it was like a two-bedroom apartment. And that's what you don't hear about. And I think they're only paying like $900 a month or whatever they're paying, whereas the average, you know, two-bedroom apartment, I think, is going for like $2,000 in that area. So it's just the reason they won't move is because they will lose that rent. They won't be able, they can't find any place else that has that kind of rent, because they're locked into this situation where they can't raise the rent on them as long as they stay there. That's the whole deal with the legislation. As long as you're there, they can't raise the rent more than so much a year, which I think is $50 a year. Whatever it is, it's like, don't quote me on the numbers. I'm not that. This guy knows it. He knows exactly the numbers. If you're interested in it, I thought he did an excellent job in 20 minutes. He should be the guy who stands before legislators and says, this is the problem. And it's just, this is why we need to fix this. And this is, you know, this doing what you're doing is not fixing the problem. Making it free for everybody, making it, you know, freezing the rent is not going to help anybody. It's the economic cycle of that. Okay. So when you start doing that to the property owners, and of course, they're talking about, well, we need to come in. We need to have communal properties. The lady who runs his. I don't know if I can find this or not. I'm not going to look for it now. There's some audio of his head tenant. I think it's his head. What do they call it? Tenant advisor or whatever it is. She is. You can tell she's definitely college graduate. You know, right out of the primordial soup thing going on, just whatever that is. She's definitely got the leftist thing going on. Now, I want to talk about, we're going to talk about Maduro in just a little bit. The interesting thing here, okay, on the other side of the spectrum, you got people like Tim Walz. Now, make no mistake, Tim Walz, he comes out and makes this speech, and I'll be playing parts of it later on a show later on, because I'm going to analyze some of the things he said. It may be a Thursday or Friday's show, probably Thursday's show, maybe. The interesting thing that he comes out and makes this big, long speech, of course, and he reads it. Now, when he reads the speech, typically when a politician comes out and reads a speech, it is because someone either had to prepare it for him, he's got a lawyer telling him what to do, or he's very carefully saying what he needs to say because someone else is helping input what he needs to say. In this case, I guarantee you, Tim Walz, if the Democrat Party was behind Tim Walz and said, no, we want you to stay in there and keep running, we believe in you, we're supporting you with our funds, I guarantee you Tim Walz is not going to step down if the Democrat Party is telling him to go forward. But I also guarantee you that Tim Walz is not going to continue on if the Democrat Party is saying, we're pulling your funds, we're not going to help you, and we would highly suggest you step down from this race. So he's not going to run again. He's come out, but he very carefully, cunningly, I guess. I don't know what the word is. He tried to, in a blatant attempt to blame Donald Trump and the YouTube conspiracy theorists. There's no YouTube conspiracy theory. This guy just went out and started knocking on doors, and it's pretty obvious what's going on there. And even reporters are asking him, and the one reporter said, we went out and called several different daycare centers, and one of them actually answered the phone. And then they go on this whole thing. Well, they have kids there. They just weren't there during business hours. You know, he's trying to break into daycare centers, and just the things that Walz said there just are ridiculous. They're absolutely ridiculous. And he goes on with this whole thing, and then he talks about how Trump administration is the reason, the problem. I can't defend myself against all these allegations and still be able to support the people properly of Minnesota, of many, you know. So he's okay. What politician comes to mind when you talk about politicians who are under attack? What is probably the most attacked politician? Certainly my generation, and probably any generation, just because of how easy it is with the internet and everything else, the communication we have now today, probably ever in the history of this country, the most attacked president in terms of accusations and allegations and even just false, you know, trumped up charges, all kinds of other things that are going on. What is the one guy who comes to mind who's the most attacked, shot at, whatever you want to call it, literally shot at? And what would you say, who would that person be? Would it be Tim Walz? Possibly Donald Trump? And who stuck with it? At a time when it would have been very easy for him to just say, well, you know, it's just what's best for the country, I'm going to step down. No, he didn't do that. He hung in there. He kept going because that's what a leader does. Now, as far as Donald Trump's leader's, his style is not what I would, you know, but I'm one to talk. I have a huge following, not the huge leader that he is, but he's not the kind of leadership style that I prefer. At the same time, he is a leader. He stuck with it. He stayed loyal to the cause and didn't give up. Tim Walz. Well, several words come to mind. He is what he is. He's a quitter, and he's jumping out, bailing out. I think there's more to the story. I think in the days ahead, we're going to find that there are some people who are going to, let's just say, you know, turn on it. Folks, thanks for listening. It's been a short show, I guess, but thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging in there with me this morning. 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think. I'll talk to you later. God bless. Have a great rest of your week. I will see ya. I'll see ya. Is it the end of the week?